This is Osen Cocktail.
Hi, I'm Kirby Plessis. I have 20 years experience in intelligence analysis and OSINT, and I'm the founder of Plessis.net. You can find me online on Twitter as Curbster.
And I'm Cynthia Navarro, and I've been a private investigator since 1979 and went into using OSINT for my investigations in 1997. You can find me on Twitter at Finnegan's Way.
Welcome back to OSIN Cocktail. Today we have the infamous Ray Baker here with us. And if you're not familiar with Ray Baker, you should be, because she's busting out on the scene and she's got a brand new book that hopefully everyone's going to start using as their textbook for OSIN. I'm going to let her introduce herself and her book. Ray, please take it away.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. My name is Ray Baker. I work in OSINT probably for about 4 to 5 years now. Before that, I was a graphic designer and I kind of rolled into open source intelligence. I really enjoy it. I work for a large consulting company doing hunt work, and I do a lot of volunteer work in open source intelligence for child exploitation cases and human trafficking cases, things like that. As Kirby said, I recently wrote a book called Deep Dive, exploring the real world value of open source intelligence. And it is available where books are sold. And it's a general book on OSINT. It's great for beginners because I kind of detail how to get started, why you're looking for things, what you're looking for, but it's also good for intermediate and kind of upper level OSINT analyst, because I do go into things like maritime and other transportation related things and stuff that's not really talked about in a lot of other OSINT books.
Now, you have a specific, like, really focus on maritime and transportation, that sort of stuff. So I want you kind of tell us how you got into that a little bit.
Yeah, so I love maritime. I got into it very strangely. I kind of fell into it. I would teach myself how to do OSINT concepts by writing blogs. So when you're starting in OSINT, it's kind of hard to figure out what you're doing because you need like a case. You need something to work on. So the way I kind of did this was I would pick a topic that I found interesting. I would write a blog on it. And once I wrote a blog, I felt like I could talk about it. And so I was learning. So I would pick random things that I saw people talking about on the internet, and I would try and recreate it in my own way. Maritime, I saw some pen tester blog somewhere. They talked about, I think, doing a pen test on a ship. And I started thinking, like, what could you find on a vessel that would be interesting? And I just wrote a blog on it and people liked it. So I wrote another one and I wrote another one. And then I started giving talks and it just kind of like steamrolled from there and became my thing. And now I do it for work. I do it for fun. I do it all the time.
Yes. And I know you've done a webinar for us on that. So if anybody wants to take some tips from her, you can come on over to my academy at pluses.net and check it out. Well, this podcast is about tools and tools of the trade and helping other investigators identify, you know, what kind of work environment many of us have. So if you don't mind, we'll start with hardware. What kind of hardware do you use on a daily basis with your investigations?
I'm very, very simple. I use a very crappy laptop. It barely functions most of the time. But I also, like I said, I started in graphic design. So not only do I do OSINT research, I do design stuff. So I needed to run like Adobe at the same time. So I have to use a laptop that supports both intelligence stuff and the power of like Adobe products. Just like anybody, they're dying once a year and I'm replacing it. Nothing fancy. I have, just for fun, I set up things like Raspberry Pi tracker to track airplanes going over my house because I'm under an airport, kind of the line. So I track those. It also is set up to track ships, even though I'm nowhere near the ocean. So I can't really, but if I was near the ocean, I could track ships on it. So I develop things like that just for fun. I don't usually use it for my job or anything, but that's really it. Like, it's pretty bare bones.
I just have a question. Do you just use the one computer? So it does your graphic design and you do your cases on it, or what kind of steps do you take to anonymize yourself when you do that?
Yes, I use my single laptop and about 12 screens around me. No, it's actually like 4 screens, but that's the most important part, is being able to see all my information. To anonymize myself, I use VMs, AWS boxes, things like that. You know, traditional, nothing fancy, kind of the stuff everybody in the biz uses.
Well, that's great, because that's me, basic as well.
Don't make it difficult. I mean,
and that's what we're finding, I think, a lot of people. Yeah, is that, you know, you could get all these super fancy thing, you know, setups done, but it does that kind of take away from actually getting the investigation done sometimes?
Yeah, and I think people love to talk about all the cool stuff they have, but it feels a little, I don't know, gatekeepy to me. Like, people just starting think, oh, I need this like really nice computer and all this fancy stuff. But I mean, just get a refurbished laptop from Amazon and you're good to go.
Yes. It's the point of the whole podcast is there's a lot of things you can do. Cynthia.
Yeah. So are you backing up on any drives, or how are you backing up if you're using some older ones? I know with my other computer, I'm continuously backing up on an external drive.
So for design, I used to use an external drive all the time, and they would die, and I would be left with no design work. So I wouldn't be able to do any of my client work because it was dead on this external drive. So even though I was backing it up, it was still failing. So I have moved to the cloud. I upload everything to the cloud. It's the safest for me. I feel like it's, you know, it's not just going to randomly die one day and I'll lose all my intelligence and my design work. And that's the safest and the fastest. I don't have to think about it. It just does it automatically.
One of the things that I had said in a previous one is that I sometimes use external drives for different cases, for like different clients. But I like what you're saying is, instead of the working, you know, maintaining your own, although I do maintain my own for some backups, the cloud would be better because they are maintaining that, like whoever owns that cloud system, they're going to keep making sure that that it's not up to me to make sure that that drive is still working a month from
right
now.
Yeah, and they probably have backups of the drives too. So it feels much safer, but I could see how having an external drive for a specific client would be good if they, I don't know, if you needed to like take it and just hand it over or something like that.
Okay, what about software? So your computer, is that Windows, Mac, Linux? And then what other kind of software do you generally use a lot?
It is Windows. I have tried to learn Linux so many times. I have a System 76 laptop, a very expensive, nice laptop with only Linux on it because it's a Linux laptop. I bought it to force myself to use it, and it is under my desk, just sitting on the floor. It is Windows. Software, I mean, like I said, I have all my design software. I have nothing really crazy for Intel stuff. Like most of the tools I use are web-based. So I don't have much software on my computer.
Well, share that, because we consider that as well. So, I mean, this could be anything from Excel or to Google Sheets, web-based, or to one of your favorite search engines.
I mean, Google is, that's my life. I mean, if you do OSINT, Google is like the number one tool. Yeah, so I use a lot of Google Drives, Google Sheets, Excel, because a lot of times I'm collecting data and then I have to compare the data, or like collecting, you know, counts of things and I have to order it and pivot charts. So I do that in Excel a lot more than I probably should, because it's just fun to see all the data. I use a lot of maritime tools, obviously. A lot of my bookmarks are just random maritime tools, transportation related tools.
Any go-tos?
This is the issue with maritime, right? Is they're all pay tools. So I use Marine Traffic. They're all free to a point. So you can use Marine Traffic to track vessels now and probably like throughout the day, but anything beyond that you have to pay. So I will use Marine Traffic, Vessel Finder. The pay one that I use is Starboard. They've given me a free account to play around with. And so that's the one I use for tracking. And then I use just open sources like Equasis and Google to just find certain things in maritime. to like bolster what I can see through the free tracking.
Have you ever used where you're just looking at photos so you can identify maybe more the different ships? So you go into a database that may have different photos that you could maybe look at and get the name of what a vessel is, which, you know, what the name of the vessel is.
Yes. So ship spotting is one that I use for that. A lot of maritime work is very tricky because if they're doing something illegal or something they don't want you to see, they're trying to hide it, which, I mean, that makes sense. So they will, ships broadcast an AIS signal constantly out. It's to make sure that they don't run into each other. And they can manipulate that on board. So they can turn it off. They can share information between vessels. They can say they're a different vessel. They can say they're in a different place, which we call spoofing. They will spoof their signal. So a lot of maritime requires like a second verification. So you might see a track on marine traffic, but you can't take that as at face value that like what you're seeing is what they're doing. So you have to go to satellite, like Planet Labs or EO, what is it called? Sentinel Hub, that's a free one, to kind of verify what you're seeing. And then that's obviously from the top down. If you want to see it from the side, you go to a site like ShipSpotting or Twitter or something to try and find pictures that other people have taken of the vessel from maybe the side. And that way you can see the name, you can see the length, you can see how many stacks it has, different colors on it. And that helps you to verify what you're seeing.
That's amazing how that works. Bellingcat, I was reading up on the one that they did where the grain was being stolen, yeah, and how they went through open source on social media to get photos of that particular ship and where they turned it off for identifying where it's going at, and then they're unloading. It's like, oh my gosh, that was so amazing.
Yeah, it's very hard. It takes practice to know what you're looking for because they use patterns of behavior. So they will turn it off at a specific point in their journey every time they're doing something illegal. Or, you know, they all have their own TTPs for what they're doing, their companies or the government or whatever. They all have their own little ways of doing things. So you have to, first of all, you have to know the area and what's normal. And then you have to figure out what is abnormal, what is happening now that is different, and then more granular, figure out what that specific vessel is doing and maybe its motivation or who owns it and who's getting the money and why it matters.
Sure. That is amazing. What on the tools that you're using on cost-wise, what is probably the more expensive one that would be helpful to someone if they had a budget where they could afford it? I mean, that's the why we're doing open source, but you also have to have, you know, help on things. And what would you recommend for that?
So top tier, Windward. Windward is the gold standard maritime tracking company. I love using Windward. It is fantastic. Same level is Starboard. They are also, I mean, they're very expensive. They're very expensive tools. They require a budget, but they are both very great. Starboard is more focused on fishing, illegal fishing, and activities like that. Windward also focuses on fishing, but I feel like they are presently a bit more adapted to sanctions research and illegal oil transfers, things like that. And then on the free to medium price size, Marine Traffic Vessel Finder. Those are kind of the standard. And probably you're looking at, I don't know, under $1,000 by a year, something like that. I don't pay for them. I refuse to pay for them. So I can't give you an exact price, but.
No. That's fine. It's great to know that. Because if someone is just coming into this, what tools do they need? You know, that you don't want someone to say, oh, I have to have this tool, when they really don't.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the tool, like, yes, if you want to drop $90,000 or whatever on Windward, it's great, but you still need to understand what you're looking for. So you can't buy the tool and just suddenly know everything about maritime. You still need some background because you need to know what you're looking for, why you're looking at it, what you're seeing. Like, there needs to be some sort of training there. I would think if you're just starting out, it makes more sense to buy something cheaper right off the bat, like marine traffic, where you can pay by the month or something like that, and kind of learn and teach yourself what you're doing. And then if it's makes sense for that, for your company, shift to something like Windward, that would be very expensive.
I do think that it is important for us to like also talk about when we do spend money. Is there anything that you do actually invest in that, as far as for any of your investigations or your work?
No. I will do whatever I can to not pay for it. I will dig around in Google as deep as I can go to not have to pay for data, because I feel like a lot of it is there. Like, it's there, you just have to find it. And to me, it feels like a challenge. Like, can you pay for it? Sure. Can I find it? Probably, if I take a little bit of extra time. But I realize that doesn't always make sense for clients and in like a corporate environment or at work. So in that case, if it's a struggle at all, I mean, time is money. So paying for some sort of software that you can share amongst your team, do a bunch of different projects at a time, that makes more sense than digging around, hoping you find something.
Okay, so another question that I have for you is, specifically, what virtual machine do you use? What's your go-to?
Oh, you guys act like I have like a set thing that I do. VirtualBox, I use. I probably don't use it as much as I should. I do tend to just search willy-nilly on the internet, unless it's like a foreign thing that I'm looking for.
There's some things you can do without a virtual machine. Like, I don't use a virtual machine all the time either, but a lot of times if I judge that I don't want to leave a footprint, I'll just go to archive.org or something.
Yes, that is true. I do that. I try and find data through other things. Like, if I'm looking at a website, I might not go to the website. I might go to URL scan and look at the website through that. So I try and keep a level of separation, and it's personal risk, right? The riskier you feel it is, the more you should protect yourself. I kind of get a feel for what I'm looking at. And if it feels risky, then I'll go to a virtual machine or, you know, look at it through another thing like Shodan or something that's like separating you from them.
Fantastic. Okay. So we have a little section that we call Last Call. I think we're ready to do that. And that's kind of where we each share a resource that we think is fantastic right now. It doesn't have to be something we use daily. Could be something we just discovered. Could be something that we just really, really want to share with everyone. And everyone's just going to share one link. So Ray, do you have something that's really catching your eye right now that is fascinating you, that you're really enjoying?
Yeah, what I'm really interested in right now is Ritu Gill is just put out this new program, OSINT Forensics or Forensics
OSINT. Forensic OSINT, yeah.
I always forget what it is, but I just got trial and I'm like just starting to get into it, and it looks very cool. It's for collecting data through your investigation, and it like saves the data and collects it, and so you can go back and write a report. Or it's reminiscent of Hunchly, if you've ever used Hunchly. It's supposed to have a few more forensic type tools in it, but I'm really looking forward to diving into that more.
I got a 6 month. I won one.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Months.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, woo, I can't wait to get it.
They gave away one of my books, and the woman who won it, she had already bought two. She bought one and then she came to Osmosis. She bought another one. I signed it. And then she won one through the giveaway.
She's set. Now she has her Christmas. Yes. Cynthia, what is your last call?
In honor of Ray, this is why I was asking about photos. I was looking at a couple things, and I came up with ships, where it's a site that has 31,720 photos of different ships. It gives the name of the ship. It gives a number, which I don't know what that number would mean, and who took the photo. So I would imagine you could get a hold of that person. So that is called My Pink, and it's FROOT.com. I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. But where I pulled that off of was OSINTEssentials.com. that one has got, and we'll say, I know I'm only supposed to do one. I'm going with two. Ocean Essentials is where Rebel. I pulled that off of. And it's under their transportations. They have aviation, maritime, rail, and road. So it's definitely a couple of places to go check out.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one. The number might be the IMO number. With a ship, if you think of it like a car, mm-hmm. they have a few different registration numbers. So there's an IMO number, which is like the registration number of the ship. Oh, and that okay. doesn't change when it's sold. And then there's a MMS. Number. Yeah. And there's an MMSI or MIMSI number. Oh. And that will change if it gets sold. The MIMSI number is longer. I think the IMO is 7 digits. But that's the identifier that you want. Okay. So if you go to Twitter or something, you can put in the IMO number and it should. Okay. Researchers usually post that with the name.
Yeah, they ask it to include the MMSI or plain tail number and the name, tag descriptions, and they have guidelines. So definitely go check that site out for anyone else doing some identifying work.
I'm going to ask our producer, Sarah Wilmer. Sarah, do you have a last call link for us?
I don't have a last call link. I have a last call book. I just wanted to mention Ray Baker's book, Deep Dive. I just bought a copy that I got last week. I'm going to be reading it this week and next, we're over the holidays. And it's published by Wiley, and it was published in 2023. And the ISBN number is 978-1-119-933243.
Sarah's going to make sure everybody sees where your book is, Ray.
Yes. Yeah. It's a deep dive exploring the real world value of open source intelligence. And I'm very excited to read it.
I hope you like it. Please let me know what you think. Right. It's very hard to like put your own words, a lot of your own words in a thing and then push it out to the world.
Yeah, no, it's great. Oh, yeah. I've got it and started looking at it too. And it's like, oh, this is so nice. I didn't know this.
Yeah, so. Thank you.
And of course, I'm excited to have my signed copy as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So my last call link is something you mentioned earlier a little bit, but Adobe, but specifically Adobe Firefly. They have a pretty nice looking AI suite for Adobe now. It's got a little bit of everything, including a pretty cool font maker, that sort of thing. So whether you're using it to create, do some AI questions for your experiments, or whether you're creating images, whatever, really cool tool. All right. And that's how we're going to finish. We want to do one more thing though. Ray, can you tell people how to get hold of you, where to buy your book, and anything else you have coming up that you need to promote?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter, Wondersmith_Ray or X or whatever you want to call it this week. That is where I spend a lot of time, or LinkedIn. You can reach out to me there. My website, raybaker.net. And there's an email on there. You can contact me if you want me to speak or have any questions. You can buy my book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Wiley or pretty much anywhere you can buy books. I think it's available in most countries now. And Case Scenarios, you can find me there as well. OSINT Training, Realistic OSINT Training. We do several different scenarios based on what kind of OSINT background you want to learn, whether it's journalism or detective work or you know, whatever. We create these scenarios that put you in the shoes of the person learning OSINT throughout their career. And upcoming things, I don't think I have anything upcoming at the moment, but I will be around.
And you'll probably, when you have upcoming stuff, you'll promote it on Twitter probably.
Oh yeah, it'll be on Twitter. LinkedIn. It'll be everywhere. I have a marketing background. I will market it. I
promise. That's right. That's right. Okay, Cynthia, what do you want to talk about, promote before we...
I want to promote next year, the OSINT conference will be in Las Vegas. And so that definitely you want to go there. It'll be at Planet Hollywood. And I'm trying to think of the date. It's always in October, probably the second week of October. But I apologize for not looking that one up. But just look up the
OSINT. Get it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll get it in the show notes, but definitely want to promote that. It's the 10th anniversary. That's where it all started as well.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Okay. And my last thing to promote, I want to talk about a new class that should be out by the time this podcast goes for me. And that one is our URL, everything about URLs. We have a new series called Foundational Concepts. And it goes from the beginning, just learning about URLs, to some very advanced things that maybe you didn't even think about with having to do with anywhere else. I'm excited to release that. All right. And that's all. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Ray. Thanks for being with us. And again, thanks to Cynthia, my co-host, and Sarah, our producer. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, ladies. Thank you. And don't forget to rate us on your favorite podcast app.
Also, please share so that we can continue sharing this podcast with you.